You are listening to Love in the 21st Century on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Hosted tonight by Jonah Richman and myself, Tamara Wickman. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to the practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And tonight, it's not going to be much different. We're going to stay on the topic of love, and we're going to be talking about love and social justice. So if you've been following the show, we go from theme to theme. We just finished love stories, and we've been talking about the area of social justice for a few weeks now. So we're excited to bring more of that topic to you. If you're listening and you have something to add to the conversation, this is a call-in radio show, so give us a call, 895-1114. We'll be right with you very soon. The 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rala's West, at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rala's West offers a small and large plates, Maryland-style shrimp, blue crab cakes, a wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rala's West is open from 5 till 9 and 10 on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or by calling 636-4468.
This is Love in the 21st Century with your host, Jonah Richman. Today we have a special guest, Maya Rand and Thomas Kellum, in the studio today with Stonewall Alliance. The Stonewall Alliance Center offers a range of services to help connect people with their community and the surrounding areas. They serve to unite and strengthen individuals and the community. Volunteers and staff provide information on activities and events and offer referrals for services. They are an active resource for the LGBTQ community, which provides information, advocacy, referrals, and support to all people. So I'd like to start today and just hear about how Stonewall, what Stonewall's mission is and how it got started. Would either of you like to start?
Yeah. So we started, maybe Tom should take this one.
I wasn't there when it started okay. either. So.
We started in 1990 and Stonewall was formed to create a safe space for the LGBTQ plus community to gather and celebrate and just be.
Yeah, I think there was a really strong need for some kind of community and feeling of safety. You know, if you think back to the late 80s and 90s, it was a pretty different world than it is now. And I think particularly in this area, I didn't live here then, but it was a small rural community. And, there's a lot of negative feelings or maybe just not even not an understanding or a knowledge of who people in the LGBTQ community are. And so it was really like a time of having a lot of fear about coming out and being seen and being present. And it was an opportunity for people to start building a community and feel safe and find a place for themselves within this community. I think there's always been an LGBTQ community here. And it's just become more and more and more visible and larger over the years. I mean, now I feel like it's very large and very integrated into the fabric of the town. Doesn't mean there isn't still a lot to do or a lot of needs, but it feels a whole lot safer being out and just being present in the world.
I was hoping that you could maybe illustrate a little bit more what you mean by safe space so that people kind of have a good idea of what that means. Like, why? What was the importance of creating a safe space, and like, what does that look like? What does that mean for people when they say, you know, we wanted to create a safe space for them, for us to be?
I think that, if we go back into the history, that there's been a lot of violence and hatred towards people in our community. And physical violence, verbal violence, not acceptance. It was against the law to even like be queer and out and doing things. So, we're coming from a place where we were like very much underground, very much hated and looked down on, and people took that opportunity to do a lot of really hostile, angry things towards the community. So having a safe place, meaning someplace that it felt okay to just like relax and breathe and go, okay, here I am, I'm gay, and I can like tell somebody that without being fearful that they're going to hit me. So I think that was huge back then.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for articulating that. And the reason I asked that question is because often people can't put themselves in someone else's shoes or for that experience of what it would be like or what it was like 30 years ago in this community or in any small community. And so I think it's important to bring back that piece of the violence and the open expression of hatred in public places, because that was the, you know, the common awareness or common treatment in that time. And like you said, we still have lots of places to go beyond where we're at now, but just that important piece of explaining that's the reason that it needed to be a safe place, because people we have a way of like kind of skimming over the bad parts and being like, oh yeah, look at where we are now. But just reminding, you know, I think it's good when we're talking about present times to get really clear about what we're talking about as well. So yeah, thank you.
I think that, I mean, it still happens a lot, and particularly with the trans community. You know, we have an event coming up in November, later this month, TDOR, which is Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is about memorializing the trans people that have been murdered in this last year. And the numbers are usually very high. I'm not sure what the number for this year is, but, you know, we do a ceremony where we read all the names, and it takes a couple of hours. It's a lot of people, and it's not just simple little violence. It's really like horrific kinds of things, like people being stabbed 30 times.
Wow.
You know, like close range, like somebody stabbing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anger and hostility in that.
Absolutely. And the topic and the kind of theme of this show being social justice, really wanting to bring that kind of awareness back to this conversation around Stonewall Alliance, because Stonewall Alliance is an amazing organization in our community that has great services, but there's also that social justice piece of what they're doing to help every person feel more treated equanimously in this community and treated fairly. And I think some of these things that are kind of the less talked about, you know, besides the programs, are areas to bring awareness to our community of, like, these are things that are still going on, very much so, like you're going to talk more about the event. So thank you.
Yeah. So are you asking kind of like what else we're doing to...
There's like the kind of like the mainstream issues, we'll say, that come when we think of the LGBTQ population. And then there's sort of ones that are like, that are also just as big of issues, but maybe aren't ones that are as commonly talked about. Like you mentioned the Trans Awareness Memorial Day. Some things that come to mind for you that you're constantly working on there at Stonewall.
Yeah. Well, my position is actually one of the advocacy coordinators, so that's what I do all day, every day, and I have to say I love my job. So some of the things that we do are I actually go around to organizations, not only in Butte County, but like kind of all over the North State, and do education, right? So I go to classes, I go to organizations, I'll go to... medical offices and educate the people there of how to be safe, supportive, and inclusive of really everybody that walks through the doors of their organizations or medical office or what have you. And then I also do one-on-one advocacy for folks to help them just gain access to things like name and gender change stuff so that they can really live their life authentically, right? Because that's really an important thing. And I think that a lot of people don't quite understand the entire process that's involved with that. We also work closely with some of the medical providers here in town to help to create more access for the trans community and the entire LGBTQ plus community to culturally competent healthcare. That is a big deal in our community right now, is just having access to doctors that will treat trans people. Cause there are several doctors that if you go to them, they'll say, I'm sorry, I don't treat trans people because I don't have the education, is usually their go-to excuse for not treating people, right? So we are trying to create more access in the Butte County area and in Chico. Gosh, what else do? We do a number of events. We, I think that our events help to create awareness, right? Pride is a huge event that we do every year in the summer. And while it's a really, really fun party, it's also really important because it creates awareness and gives us a platform to be able to share what we're doing and really, I guess, address the current issues in our community. Because, you know, a couple years ago, it was marriage equality, right?
Mm-hmm.
But every time we come up and we kind of tackle one issue, there's like another one underneath it. Like, it didn't stop with marriage equality. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some of the things I think that we're doing. And like we were saying earlier, just all of the different programs that we offer, I think help to create more of that mm-hmm. as well.
So you guys do a lot of wonderful things. And one of the, I love that you do the educational work to in organizations to help everyone feel safe and comfortable. And I've participated in a couple of trainings like that. And I noticed that a lot of it, you spoke to the violence before, but there's also just situations where people may even have the best intentions, but they're not helping people feel comfortable and safe in those environments. And I'm wondering if you have any, maybe something that you share in your trainings or something to kind of help to educate the audience about, like, what are some ways to really help people feel safe?
I think the biggest thing that we tackle in those trainings is not only just the education about, like, the difference between gender and sexuality and biological sex, right? Because all of those things are three different categories that one does not dictate the other. But I think that the biggest thing, if it's just like one small thing that I can say without doing an hour and a half training, is don't assume, right? Don't make assumptions about people. Don't make assumptions about their gender. Don't make assumptions about their sexuality. Even not making assumptions, and this is going off into a completely different topic, but it's still social justice, but don't make assumptions about people's even like race or cultural background, right? Because you can't always tell that just by looking at somebody. So I think that that is like the biggest thing, is don't make those assumptions, and then you know, educate yourself, really. Like, take the time to if you want to be an ally, and if you want to not be one of those people that's creating more of what you were talking about, I think is what we consider to be microaggressions, right? That's a big word in the social justice community, is microaggressions. So if you not want to not be feeding into that, really educate yourself on how you can kind of overcome those microaggressions and not be one of the people that is feeding into that even more. Within TDOR, even the Trans Day of Remembrance that we were talking about, it's not just about those that were murdered over the last year. We also include names of people who died by suicide, because the reason is that in, I think, a lot of minority communities, but specifically I think in the trans community, it's not necessarily an act of violence against oneself, right? It's the constant microaggressions that we face every single day that are just, they pile up and pile up and pile up. And especially when you have intersecting identities, right? Maybe you're a trans person of color or a trans woman of color, right? Those intersecting identities just have more and more microaggressions that come with them, and they're really, really hard to live with on a daily basis.
And I'm wondering if I know it may be sensitive, but just to kind of help, if you have some examples of things that people might say that might be a microaggression that they're maybe not even aware of.
Yeah, pronouns are a big one, right?
Okay.
So assuming somebody's gender and then assuming their pronouns just by what they look like. I face that on a daily basis, just because I'll speak from a personal standpoint, if you like.
That'd be great.
I face that on a regular basis because people look at me and they assume female. but I don't identify as that. I actually identify as non-binary, and I really feel the most comfortable being addressed with they, them pronouns because it's gender neutral, and that feels more accurate to my experience of who I am, right? And I think that that is a big one throughout the trans community, and this bathroom thing, right? That's a big thing right now. But the bathroom thing, like, don't make assumptions about what bathroom somebody should be in. And if they're not in there, like, if they're in there, that is not in and of itself a crime, right? The only time a crime is committed is if there's an actual crime committed. In the state of California, that is the law currently, as I understand it, is that anybody can use, there are no laws against anybody using a bathroom that they feel the most comfortable in. And if they're in there and they're not being aggressive or harassing somebody or committing some sort of actual crime, then they're not committing a crime. And just leave them be, let them do their business and get out. That's like a big thing right now in our community.
Mm-hmm. So trust that whoever's in the bathroom, that's their bathroom.
As long as they're not doing anything creepy, and it's usually not trans people doing creepy things in restrooms.
Yeah.
Usually they're trying to be very invisible.
Right.
So that they can get in there and get done and get out before somebody else hurts them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. So one of the other things I think is, you know, we talk about labels and we use labels a lot and we identify, you know, different things. We've used trans. Maya used non-binary, and we have a lot of discussions about ways to be inclusive and ways to, like, create a sense of this entire community, and yet at the same time we use labels, but we don't want to put labels on people. We like people to be able to identify their own identity and say, you know, like, this is how I identify, you know. I identify as gay and queer. That's me. And other people identify in all kinds of different ways. We have, like, what, 36 different genders, different combinations.
55.
So, you know, and I think part of that is people really discovering, like, their sense of uniqueness and who they are, and that's a really empowering thing for people to go, okay, this is me, this is how I identify, these words, this concept sort of fits who I am and who I feel I am. And that's, like, so important to empower that and let people, like, use those words and to, in a discussion, reflect them back. You know, rather than, like, saying, oh, okay, so you're gay. You know, no, that's not exactly it. I'm this, this, and this. And, you know, giving people that space and empowerment is super important. At the same time, we always try to come up with a way to talk about the whole community, because the community encompasses a huge number of different ways that people identify, and we want to be sensitive to those things. Very recently, we had a conversation, you know, like a public meeting that we invited people to talk about how intersex is kind of left out of a lot of our nomenclature. You know, we talk about LGBTQ, we don't really add the I for intersex, and yet intersex is kind of different than sexuality and gender. So, you know, how can we have its own place in that overall naming of things? So it's like something we're constantly working on too. You know, how to, like, be more inclusive of parts of the community that are kind of marginalized and not named and in that way excluded and made invisible. And we don't want to be doing that. You know, we tell other people not to do it. And I think it's important for us to be constantly examining, you know, what we're doing, the language that we use, and the people that we may be leaving out, you know, especially You know, like, I have a lot of privilege. You know, I'm a white guy. I can, people don't necessarily know that I'm gay and queer. I think around here everybody does, but, you know, but just kind of in normal, not normal, but, you know, just in a routine day, I don't know that people think, you know, pick that out on me. So, you know, that gives me a lot of privilege, but it doesn't mean that I should, like, not use some of that privilege to help empower other people that don't have as much of a voice have a voice. And I'm really committed to doing that.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is that, on average, that maybe other people might be experiencing more kind of microaggression or kind of bigotry because they maybe people are sensing things or picking things up on them that you yourself are not experiencing as frequently. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for anybody that's listening and curious about what Maya is explaining about the sexuality and gender, they do an amazing workshop I participated in that would just blew my mind in terms of the 55 and counting different ways for people to identify. And it's amazing. I mean, it's really interesting to be able to look at gender and sexuality in such new ways and how we relate to it. I think that more people than not probably identify in, you know, on that spectrum. So what's interesting is that it's almost as if the minority is becoming the majority. As I was learning about it. So when do you offer that workshop?
We try to do a workshop monthly. And we generally put it out on our Facebook page and through our newsletter that we send out once a week on Friday mornings. So that information is always in there. If people want to access that information, they can either go to our Facebook account, which is Stonewall Chico, I think, on Facebook, and then or they can go to our website, www.stonewallchico.org. And there's a spot on there where they can just click sign up for our newsletter, and then they'll get that information plus a ton of other information about just other things that are happening through Stonewall or just in the community, and not even necessarily just in the LGBTQ+ community.
Mm-hmm.
Right. On the website, there's also a calendar.
Yes.
So you can click on the calendar, and usually it's up to date.
Nice.
And has the different things that are happening, and those trainings would be listed on there. Our HIV testing is listed on there. Groups are listed on there.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the things that we're involved in. It's hard to, like, keep all the information constantly getting out to people and making sure that they can get it, but we work at it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's in constant flow. Like you were saying, having the conversation about the inclusivity piece around intersex. It's like, it sounds like that you're constantly working at this process of, like, how do we be inclusive and how are we best serving the population that we're working with. So it makes sense that the information is sort of, you know, you're doing your best to get it up there. But I've seen your website. It's very thorough. It's good. It's easy to navigate. That's what's important.
Thank you. Can I also add that if anybody listening is interested in having one of these presentations, not only attending one, but maybe they feel like something like that is necessary at their own organization or business that they work at, we will go pretty much anywhere that we're asked to go, or I will. And I can be contacted at MAYA, it's Maya, at stonewallchico.org. Or you can call the office at 530-893-3336.
Nice. Good job. What are some places that you have done some trainings?
Oh, wow. We have gone to Northern Valley Indian Health. I work with the Butte County Foster and Kinship Program, and I do a training for their prospective foster and kinship families once a month. I go to Chico State and Butte College on a very regular basis to do presentations in classrooms. We have gone to, oh gosh, there's so many places. Can you think of some that I'm leaving out?
Yeah, we go to a lot of agencies and other organizations that, you know, do work in the county. We do trainings at the county. We do trainings for therapists and counselors. It's like our mind goes blank because there's right. so many.
Well, no, and it's great to hear how many agencies are actually utilizing that that skill and that service that you are providing. Because, you know, like right. I said, when I experienced it, it was like, wow, everybody should be sitting in this workshop learning about this, because I think it really does open your eyes to the world. So.
Yeah, I think one of the favorite ones is the police academy.
Yes.
You know, because it's like, I think it's also kind of the scariest in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's getting easier, and we're getting pretty well received.
Nice.
It's really nice. And, you know, I think it speaks a lot to, you know, younger people growing up are having a very different experience than, say, I did when I was growing up. You know, there's a lot more presence and information available. They have access to the internet. So, you know, LGBTQ isn't such a mystery. I think there's still an inner process of figuring it out and understanding what it is. But, you know, it's on TV these days and it's in movies, so it's not totally removed from the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also a sense of fluidity in the way they think about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I find a lot of youth aren't as, like, set in, okay, this is a box and I'm in it. But, you know, I feel this way, I feel that way. There isn't that binary rigidity.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, room for them to ebb and flow and be different things, different days and different times.
And that's great.
And I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Culture's
changing. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to speak to the mass media kind of thing, where it's wonderful that we are getting visibility in the media. The way that it's happening, I don't know, is that it's not that I don't know. It's being done horrifically. I just have to say. So, yeah, the depiction that the entire LGBTQ plus community has within media is actually done oftentimes as either victim or some sort of a negative connotation around it. It's usually either victims or prisoners or things of that nature. It's very rarely do you see the LGBTQI community depicted as the hero on a show or in that way. I don't know, my mind just went blank.
I can agree with where you're going with that, though. Like, it's kind of the same thing I think other cultures have faced, that in media in the past, they were only depicted as one role or, like, one character in these, like, movies or television shows, or just, you know, what's reported on them. And I know the Black community very much still, you know, struggles with that in terms of what makes national news very often. But, yeah, so just bringing that awareness to, yeah, it might be more common in the media now where it's not so completely blacked out from the media, but there's still a lot of work to go in terms of showing them as victors of their own life.
Mm-hmm. Or is not needing to be saved by the straight, white, cis community, which is oftentimes how it is depicted
right.
on the media.
Right.
I had to stop watching those the police shows on TV because of that.
Mm-hmm. Good awareness. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious about the going back to the labels and finding out what your, or just the freedom of choosing a label. The main thing I'm hearing, it all just keeps stemming back to this effort to give people that sense of safety and that ownership and belonging. And I'm curious, so with the part around, I had the thought earlier and now I'm forgetting what it is, but not making assumptions about people. That just got me thinking about how we do that so often. It's just how we're grown up, and we automatically assume what gender a person is. Maybe less often now what our sexual orientation is, but even that still is very commonly assumed. And it's so assumed now that I think it comes out where people will just say him or her or make some kind of pronoun. And I'm curious if you have suggestions for people to stop doing that. Like it's such a habit that's ingrained in so many of us. What is the replacement kind of process instead of just assuming? Do you ask?
I think that the best thing to do in those situations is, and it creates an opportunity to really get to know who you're talking to, is use a name. And if you don't know somebody's name, introduce yourself and ask them, like, hey, my name is Maya, what's your name, right? And then refer to them as their name. And I understand that in conversations, sometimes that can get a little awkwardly repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
But then just replacing he, him, and she, her with they, them is a very gender neutral pronoun to use that can be used for everybody. And it is actually what we do in our daily language when we don't know who we're talking about. Like, so if, let's say, for instance, I leave my cell phone when I leave, and if the next person that comes in goes, oh, somebody left their cell phone, I sure hope they remember and come and get it, right? Right there, they've used they, them pronouns singularly because they don't know to whom they are referring, right? And so if you just remember that if you're not making assumptions, then you don't necessarily know the pronouns that a person uses, and so you don't know to whom you're referring necessarily, and you can just replace the she, her, and he, him with they, them until maybe that person either tells you or until you feel comfortable saying in a respective and private manner, hey, how would you like me to refer to you? Or I really want to respect who you are. What name and pronouns would you like me to use, and in what situations? Because it can vary from situation to situation, right? Some people are very out in our office, but they're not necessarily out at work or at school or with their family, et cetera, because of a comfort level kind of thing.
I also think that it takes a lot of awareness. I find that if I'm sort of on automatic speak, I'll start rattling off pronouns that I'm assuming, but if I stop and listen to what I'm saying and pay more attention, then I put more focus on it and I make less mistakes, which is really good because I don't like misgendering people through their pronouns. And I find that there's this moment of hesitation even when I'm talking about somebody that I know and that uses binary pronouns and are cisgender. So, it's like I would regularly say she, but I find myself stopping and adding these few seconds of thinking, okay, now that person, who are they and what are their pronouns? So, I see that process happening in me. Sometimes I mess up, but I'm finding more and more that I'm stopping before I say pronouns so that it gives me time to think about who I'm actually talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a retraining in a sense of the way that we've been culturally
totally
taught to talk about each other.
It's almost like not only retraining, but it's almost like reprogramming is the way I kind of think about it. I feel like societally we've been programmed to make certain assumptions based on what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of almost a reprogramming of our brain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and how we think and how we
breaking out of these constraints and these ideas we have or assumptions we make about reality, even maybe.
And it's very early training. I mean, it's just when we learn language as little kids, that's just integrated into the language. It's not like a concept that we learn later in life that we may have to like rethink out the words that we're using. Mm-hmm. And I think the earlier it happens, the more ingrained it is, so that it takes a lot more work than maybe changing the word we use for something else that we learned about later.
I can also see the challenge of being someone who doesn't have the pronoun that people are making the assumption for, and what that would be like to go through and just live in this way that everyone's been trained to speak about them, and to have that challenge and frustration, I imagine, on a daily basis. And so I can see the value of this kind of almost a deep cultural reprogramming in a way for people.
Yeah, not just to echo what you're saying, Jonah, in terms of this, like that, trying to put myself in that place of thinking what that experience would be if someone referred to me as he constantly and I didn't identify with it, like it would just wear you so thin. You're just like, this is not who I am. Why are you doing that? Like, just like the level of the microaggressions and the frustration of that feeling, not really wanting to be around people, not really wanting to have to explain the story every time, because like Maya was sharing, it's up to the individual whether or not they want to disclose that. So then, you know, kind of really needing that safe place where you don't have to constantly explain yourself and your experience. So thank you for doing that work for people, and thank you for bringing that awareness, because I until recently, probably within this last year, started learning more about the pronouns. And it was because of Stonewall, you know, really being advocates and sharing that information with myself and the agency I work with. So important work to be doing. And like you were talking about, Tom, in terms of mindfulness around our speech, I don't think in general we're taught to be very mindful about what we're saying. We're very, you know, needs oriented, or just like get what I want. And so we're not necessarily like, as a culture, you know, obviously everyone has individual experience, but as a culture, we're not taught to be really mindful about the power of our words and how they affect people that are receiving them. And so for anybody that's listening, just that, you know, little microcosm of an idea to start, you know, thinking about what you're saying and how it's affecting the people that's receiving it is such a powerful, you know, simple tool that you can use right now. So thank you.
So we've been spending a lot of time talking about the process of educating and creating a space for people to feel safer in. And I'm curious if you have some things to say to listeners out there who may potentially be someone who is looking for support or looking for this safe space, and maybe words of encouragement or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a big one is that you're not alone, right? So if there's anybody out there that is experiencing this, or maybe that has just been listening and maybe identifying with some of the things that we're saying that they didn't even realize that they identified with, because that was kind of how my experience happened, then it felt very lonely and very scary. But that you're not alone. We are here to support you. I'll just plug our information one more time in case anybody is looking for that kind of support, because we do offer, I don't think we mentioned this yet, we offer low and no cost counseling services. And so there is another line that I don't have that phone number memorized, but if you call our main office, we can get that to you, or Tom probably knows it off the top of his head.
530-809-2485.
Yeah, so that's for our low and no cost counseling. We also have social and support groups. So if you are looking for folks to identify with, you can go to our website and look up all of the groups. Everything on there should be current at this point. And everybody's welcome to attend the groups. And if there's anybody listening tonight that is identifies as non-binary and looking for some other folks to meet with and discuss the trials, triumphs, and tribulations that that are associated with that, we meet the first and third Tuesday Tuesday of every month, and we are meeting tonight at 6:30 at our office. Yeah, so we offer those different groups, and anybody's welcome to attend those if they feel like they want or are needing that kind of support. We are also just always available if you are in need of like a place to go or someone to talk to. Our doors are always open during our business hours, which are from noon to 6, Monday through Friday, except Tuesday we close at 4 because we offer free and confidential HIV testing. So please feel free to walk in or give us a call if you are in need of that support or if you're feeling alone. You're not. I think that that's I think one of the big messages, and that we are absolutely here to support you in whatever way you need.
Sometimes it can take a lot of courage to come walk in our door. I know I see people sometimes walk by and looking in the window, and then walk around the block, and you know, then maybe they come in, maybe they walk on by. But for, you know, people just beginning to break through into getting support or finding more people in the community, it can be a really big deal. So, you know, it's okay. It's okay to not be comfortable the first time you come in and to be nervous.
I imagine that everything is confidential.
Absolutely.
So if people come and they seek support or just want to check out what you're doing, that everything will remain private.
Yeah, definitely. And also, to speak to that, to the folks who maybe are afraid to walk in the door for the first time or kind of want to, maybe you're in crisis tonight and maybe you need support tonight, there's several hotlines out there that you can call or reach out to. The Trevor Project for youth and young adults is available online for folks, and the phone number for that one is 866-488-7389. There's also the Alex Project, which is a text hotline. So sometimes it's really scary to say these things out loud, but it's easier to text it. And you can text ANSWER to 839-863 for help through text. There's also, for the trans community, the Trans Lifeline is 877-565-8860. And there's the GLBT National Youth Talk Line is 800-246-7743. And you can always call also the Butte County Behavioral Health Hotline at 800-334-6622. Or the Northern Valley Talk Line at 855-582-5554. So those are some resources for people to contact tonight if they are in need of support tonight or before we open tomorrow.
Right, and those numbers are also on our website. So if you didn't catch them or couldn't write them down, you can always check our website, stonewallchico.org, and it'll be there.
It sounds like there's so many wonderful offerings that you have for people, and so many that it's a lot to even try and get out there and be understood for. And I'm kind of breaking them down into three categories. You offer events for the community, and groups for people to become a part of, so they can join a group that is of like folk, and then the private counseling. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
I think those are three major areas. I think there's a lot of other stuff that we do. Okay. You know, we give out resources and referrals. We do individual advocacy for people. Like Maya was talking about earlier, about helping people get connected with proper health care. If people have issues with their health care, we refer them to LISNIC and get them legal support. We also just integrate ourselves into the community in a lot of ways. I must go to like at least 10 meetings a month with different organizations and aspects of the community, and develop relationships with other organizations and local government, so that all those things help sort of move forward our position in the community, and that other people's awareness of needing to pay attention to us is enhanced through that. We have this really great relationship with Chico PD now, and it was really exemplified after the horrific shooting in Orlando, and the police chief called me up and said, how are people feeling? What's happening? Do people feel safe? Do they need something? Is there something that I can do or we can do as the police department to help the community?
Wow.
And, I mean, that was huge. And that's been forged through, developing relationships, being involved in things, Chief O'Brien and myself being in meetings together and getting to know each other a little bit, so he felt comfortable reaching out to me, knowing who I am. And the same, I feel comfortable reaching out to him when we need something. We did a big town hall meeting, after that, to really discuss some of the things. And not only was Chief O'Brien there, the sheriff was there, the Chico State police chief was there, Butte College police chief was there, people were there from the DA's office, several council members were there. It was like the community really coming out to find out more of how they can support us. And that just feels amazing.
That's wonderful. It's so inspiring to hear that there's so much connections happening, and especially with the police force, and that you guys are partnering. And
it is. It's wonderful. I mean, and it's it's part of what we've been working on growing, is not just being this isolated support center for people in our community, but being part of the whole community, and that helps make the whole community, town, hopefully the county, safer for people when there isn't as much isolation and there's a sense that we are part of many other things that are happening.
Absolutely, because the people you serve are the rest of the community as well. They are intertwined into every aspect of the community. So important to be doing that work yourself as an organization, to intertwine yourselves, because it represents all those people as well. Thank you so much for being willing to come on and talk about Stonewall Alliance and share about the amazing work that you all are doing. It's really important work to be doing in these times.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you for tuning in to Love in the 21st Century. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. Stay tuned for Ecotopia coming up next. They always are so thoughtful and sharing with what's going on environmentally. So stay tuned for that.
Hey guys, Will Durst here with a few choice words about this exceptionally scary election season and how lucky we are that voting day is not until November 8th, the first Tuesday after the first Monday of the month, prompting folks everywhere to ask why not the first Tuesday. The only result of that odd predicate is that the election can't be held on November 1st. Why? Well, probably because our founding fathers were smart enough to realize that the American people have the attention span of high-speed lint, and should Halloween and Election Day be contiguous, we might all have heart attacks after being scared spitless 2 days in a row. Surely they knew even back then that a dead electorate is not a happy electorate. Although the distance between these two scary events may be stretched to the furthest possible, that eerie connection has been magnified this year with numerous creepy clown sightings. Creepy clowns have been reported in small towns, on social media, and even in the UK, where their tradition has long been embraced by the clergy. The situation has become so dire over here that Ronald McDonald is on hiatus, so as not to be confused with his even creepier brethren. To many of us, the term creepy clown is redundant. Seriously, how much more scary is a clown with a chainsaw than a clown with a balloon animal hat? And another connection this year is the creepiest of all the clown sightings, that orange malignant one currently running for president as a Republican. And speaking of Halloween, why is Donald Trump like a pumpkin? Because they're both orange on the outside, hollow on the inside, and destined to be discarded in early November. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
Pray for all our people right now in this time. It's been very confusing. There's been a lot of violence. We live in a way, a peaceful way, in a good way, and we ask that you give us the courage and the strength to continue this way.
I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am my mama's child. She gave me a lion heart and she told me to be kind. She taught me to paint my dreams into my reality. And she said, first you gotta wake up, baby, get your head right and keep your eyes wide open. And keep your eyes wide open. Peaceful warriors. Peaceful warriors. Peaceful warriors. Peaceful warriors. We stay rising.
Turn the negative into a positive. Listen, children, you came from the stars and you're more magical than you ever knew you are. Let your love guide you, let your light shine true. Don't let it mine, you've got diamonds inside your soul. Don't be afraid of who you are. Kings and queens who came from the stars. Who needs proof when you know what truth is? The truth just is, it needs no mirror to exist. And since we're living in the shadow of the dark, find the light path back to the heart of the matter. Cause somebody's pockets is getting fatter every time we eat the lies that they fed us. I'm fed up. It's time to get up, stand up, children. Keep your head up. Peaceful warriors. Peaceful warriors. We stay rising.
There's the thunder, lightning strikes with the song of our mother. Echoes resound with the healing rays. Dance from night after the night till we feel the strength. Moon knows the sun, sun knows the moon. Hearts are all friends, we remember truth. Call upon the Father, won't wait any longer. Get the stars in the darkness, light is always stronger. Heal our relations, unite all nations, all directions for the next seven generations. Babylon, rainbow bridge, universal language, vibration. Prayers for the planet as we reawaken. Love is a theme dream, we have the power to reinstate it. The source of creation for the next seven generations. Seven generations. Seven generations. Seven generations. Seven generations.
Seven generations. Seven generations. Seven generations. We are the ones that do this. Peaceful warriors. Peaceful.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR.